Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your moderator, AJ. Join with me, as always, our co-host, Tone.
Good evening, boys.
And you already know we got our guy, D-Say, behind the scenes, cleaning us up and making us squeaky clean for the episode drops. Appreciate you out there, D-Say. We got a big week. Our guy, Nate, is going to be out today. So shout out to our guy, Nate, listening back home. We miss you, brother. We had a bit of a rough week.
Real tough.
It was tough out here. If there's one thing I've learned this year, it's that sports betting is not easy.
It's hard.
It's a very complicated process. And Vegas is very good at what they do. So you really have to work for those wins. And, you know, we've been dropping some winning picks for you guys out there. And unfortunately, week 13 was not a winning week for us and a lot of other sports bettors out there. So I'll go ahead and drop a recap. And, you know, our guy Nate, unfortunately, had his most unsuccessful week. Came in at 2-5. It was minus 4 units for the week. Tone, 2-4, minus 2 units for the week. And then, unfortunately, the luck it in, 0-2, minus 2 units. So if you tailed us last week, apologies. It's going to happen in the game. That's why we're going to come back this week stronger. On the positive, head-to-head, you got one up on Nate, so you've taken the lead. You're back up, what was it, 4-3?
Yeah, I needed it. Yeah. Definitely needed it.
Yeah. So our yearly totals, Nate is still up plus 15 units. So, you know, whatever Nate's doing this year, I would highly advise to keep tailing. Tone, you're back down to minus 2 units on the season, but
hate to see it.
I think we're going to get back in the green after this week. I feel like you got some good picks to drop for us. Luck it in is even units for the season. And as mentioned, the head-to-head, it's Tone 4, Nate 3. And before we go ahead and get into the what did he say, and before we start taking our picks, I wanted to take a second to just, this is more so in honor and in memory of what the Vikings season could have been. And also in memory of the potential winless season for the Detroit Lions. Go ahead and hit it. RIP to Mike Zimmer's tenure as a Minnesota Vikings head coach. I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up for our guy. But you know, there's always next year, and you see what happens next year. It's been a rough year for our guy Nate, and that pretty much just was the cherry on top. So, we wish you well, Nate. There's always a Sunday to come, and you know, we'll see you back here on the show. But now that that's taken care of,
what did he say?
It's what did he say? No pressure, Tone, but I haven't heard back from Nate, so this may be on you and only you. Our question of the week. Chris Godwin had 15 catches this past week, the most in a single game by a receiver this season. Who holds the record for most catches in a single game?
Okay.
So here we go. Let's go ahead and get to the week 14 lines. And we'll start with Thursday Night Football. We were talking about the Vikings. What better way than to start with the Vikings themselves? We have the 6-5-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. They're plus 3 points. They are traveling to Minnesota to take on the 5-7 Vikings. Over-under for this game, 43.5 points. Nate does have a play, but before I give out Nate's picks, are you taking any action on this game?
I think I'm going to root for Nate in this instance. I did have a teaser lined up, but I just don't know if I'm going to pull it. It should be a back-and-forth game. I imagine Pittsburgh could cover, but you hate to root against the Vikings as far as their covering ability, so I'll watch it on Thursday. I'm going to root for whatever Nate goes with.
Okay, all right. So one thing that we've been preaching on the Luck Changers podcast, Vikings are a great team to tease, and Nate is teasing the Vikings. However, we're doing things a little bit differently. You also know that Nate is a big under guy, so that's what we're doing on this one. We're going to tease the Steelers-Vikings under 49.5. And he will be teasing that with the Saints-Jets under 49.
Interesting.
Yeah, so a double under tease to start off the Week 14 lines.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. All right, so we'll jump to the Sunday at 1 p.m. We have a really big game for us. It's the 8-4 Baltimore Ravens, plus 2.5 points. They are traveling to Cleveland to take on the 6-6 Browns, fresh off of a bye week. Over-under for this game, 42 points.
This is another game I got to pass. I did want to make a play. I would lean towards the Browns, minus 2.5 off the bye. I love the position for them. The Ravens are really in a weird spot right now. They're just gutted out.
Mm-hmm.
Their secondary is a mess. They've lost players on both sides of the ball, so I would love to tease them up to 8.5, and I'm sure they'll cover that. But the other part of me would like to take the Browns, so I'll just pass this game. I think it should be a back-and-forth matchup, a divisional tough game. They all just played each other 2 weeks ago. Yep. But I do feel like the Browns have the advantage in this situation. Chubb will be back. Hunt should be back. I feel like we're getting a couple offensive linemen back, so I really like the Browns in this position, but again, I'm going to go ahead and pass.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're getting an interesting spot here. The Ravens are just not in a good spot. I mean, as you mentioned, and last week they could have tied it to go to overtime, but they were so depleted on defense. They just decided to go for two to get it over with, which didn't play in their favor. And I think this is going to be the final chance for Baker. Win this game. You move forward. You probably get a nice contract. I think if he loses this game, any chance of getting that nice extension is probably gone. So Nate's actually taking the Browns minus 2.5.
Nice.
He said he is extremely confident. He said that he can't even see the Ravens covering a teaser on this one. So,
okay.
Our guy's pretty confident on this one. Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that was via text.
Nice. I love the different adjectives he's giving you about how he feels, so you can really, that's nice.
Send it home.
Appreciate that, Nate.
Yep.
Makes me really want to take the Browns. I'm not going to luck it in, but like I said before, I lean their way anyways.
Okay. All right, so we have the 2-10 Jacksonville Jaguars. They're plus 9. They're traveling to Tennessee to take on the 8-4 Titans. Over-under for this game is 44. Nate's got no action on this play, but what do you like for this one?
For this one, I'm also going to pass. I want to take something. I feel like this number started, I think it opened around 6.5, 7, mm-hmm. which seemed a little more appropriate. Now it's steamed up to 9.5. I would lean towards the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I don't trust their team. I don't know how well they're playing for Coach Meyer. Who knows what's going to happen with him and the team, the whole organization. So I'm going to pass this game. Titans are getting Julio Jones back. I don't know how much of an addition that will really be. King Henry could come back in a few weeks, but we'll see. For now, I feel like they're still just kind of riding off that high.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 5-game stretch that was incredible. I just feel like you don't want to buy any more of their stock right now, but maybe you do. I'm going to go ahead and pass this game, but we'll see how it plays out.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy because the Titans are 8-4, which is really solid, but yet somehow they still feel like just a disappointment this year when the preseason started and they got Julio to go with A.J. Brown and Henry, and Tannehill had that fire season last year. And now it just feels like they're all right. They're solid, but they don't feel excellent like we expected them to be.
The NFL's crazy. It's up and down. There's so much parity, you know, not always at the same time, but over the course of a season, there's a ton of parity. So it's interesting to see how it always plays out. Right now, I feel like they're a lot lower than they were. They were on an all-time high a few weeks ago. So as a bettor, you kind of have to adjust and understand that.
Okay, we got the 6-6 Las Vegas Raiders, and they're plus 9.5. They're traveling to Arrowhead to take on the 8-4 Kansas City Chiefs. Over-under for this game is 48 points. I'll go ahead and give you Nate's play first. Nate is taking Chiefs minus 9.5 points.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have a look at in here, but we will have another head-to-head. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Raiders plus 9.5. The Chiefs can't cover. I know they covered last week barely. The Broncos actually had a 20-play, 11-minute drive that ended with no points. The Chiefs had a pick six, so I just feel like the score is really kind of lopsided as far as the reality of what the game script was. So I feel like the Raiders, before when they played, I think the Raiders were 2 or 3.5, something like that along the lines. Raiders were at home, of course, but I don't feel like the Raiders are going to play much worse on the road. A lot of people are counting them out right now. They're selling their stock, which I understand, but I'll take the Raiders to keep it close within 10 double digits.
Okay.
Give me the Raiders plus 9.5 head to head.
Head to head. All right. I like that. We got a head-to-head to go into the next game, which is the 5-7 New Orleans Saints, minus 5 points. They're traveling to New York to take on the 3-9 Jets. Over-under for this game, 43 points. And like I mentioned at the start of the lines, Nate is taking a teaser on this game. He took the Steelers-Vikings under 49.5, and he's teasing out with this game, Saints-Jets under 49.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad call at all. I got to pass this game. I don't want to take an over-under, and I sure as hell don't want to take a side. I'd have to lean towards the Jets, I suppose, but I can't trust their defense. I definitely can't trust their offense. Zach Wilson's unpredictable. The Saints are banged up. Taysom Hill may or may not even play, so for me, I'm going to go ahead, pass this game, and I'll just root for Nate's teaser.
Okay. The Saints, they just got done giving Taysom Hill all the money in the world, and he returned the favor by throwing, like, what, 4 picks, I think under 50% completion percentage. I mean, that was a rough game, and I'm not really sure why or how they gave him that contract that they gave him. Good for him, though.
Yeah.
But yikes. Very questionable.
Big yikes.
Probably the most questionable contract I've seen in quite a while. Very interesting. We have the 8-4 Dallas Cowboys. They are minus 4 points. They are traveling to Washington to take on the 6-6 football team. Over-under for this game is 48 points. Any plays for this one?
I'll go ahead and take a teaser. So okay. I will take this Washington football team plus 10 at home. I do know that earlier they put Logan Thomas on the IR, and they also have their defensive ends out with COVID, but they've really came along. Even with Chase Young out, they've won 4 straight. They've won on the road. They've won at home. Taylor Heineke is a little underrated for me. At times he can play, you know, pretty well. Since Antonio Gibson's came back from his injury, he's been a stud. Even though they're without Logan Thomas, Ricky Seals-Jones seems to be a very nice option as well, so I don't think that'll hurt them too much. Zeke, he's kind of banged up right now, possibly washed. Dak is banged up. There seems to be a little something off of that team still. They definitely show really positive signs at times. They played New Orleans last week, who's a mess. I know they're on extra rest, but I don't know. I feel like the Cowboys can definitely win this game. I think it should be within 10 points. So I'll go ahead and take the Washington football team as the first leg of my teaser. I'm going to go ahead and tease them with the Broncos down to minus 1.5.
Nice. Love to see that. Yeah, our guy Nate, before the season started, he surprised us all. He said that the Cowboys were a Super Bowl prediction team. And they started off the season really hot. They've kind of cooled down a little bit. Nate's talk of his predictions kind of gotten a little bit more quiet, but we'll see. This is going to be a really big game if they want to control this division. So they got to beat Washington. Nate's taking a teaser on this one as well. Washington football team plus 10. Guess you could half luck that in. And he's going to tease that with the 49ers plus 6. So we'll talk about that when we get to that game. Next game on the slate, we have the 5-7 Atlanta Falcons. They are plus 3 points. And they are traveling to Carolina to take on the 5-7 Panthers. Over-under for this game, 42.5 points. I've mentioned this already. Nate, big under guy. And he's going to keep that trend with the Falcons-Panthers under 42.5 points.
Nate is a big under guy.
Big under
which
guy.
Isn't a bad thing, you know. The average score in the NFL this season is around 45 and some change, give or take. So we'll say 45.5. I could definitely see this game possibly being an under-average scoring type game. I'm not going to take a side, though. I'll take the Falcons plus 3. I just feel like this Panthers team, they have a lot of injuries, a lot of changes going on. Cam Newton's fine at times, but I don't know that Matt Ryan and this Falcons team can't at least try to keep it close. So it may wash out, it may lose, but I'll take the Falcons plus 3.
Yeah, the Panthers team, it's been the most, possibly the most up-and-down team this year. I think you start off with Sam Darnold, and he was hot, and it's like, okay.
Right. I have DJ Moore on my team. It was really nice at first.
Yeah, Darnold and McCaffrey, this is how it's supposed to be. McCaffrey goes down, Sam Darnold starts sucking. Then they brought Cam back, and Cam had a really nice first game, and then he's been yikes ever since. So It's been a really up and down year for Carolina. I would like to see them finish strong regardless. But we'll see how that game plays out. Next game, we have the 4-8 Seattle Seahawks. They are -7.5 points. They're traveling to Houston to take on the 2-10 Texans. Over-under for this game, 41.5 points. Any plays on this one?
I did want to take one. This is I was going to tease, you know, so I'll give this out. I won't do it officially. Maybe it'll hit. I was going to do Steelers +9.5 with the Seahawks -1.5. That was a solid teaser. I didn't end up pulling the trigger just because there's a other, you know, moving parts right now. Even just like Jamal Adams going out, the Steelers got stuff going on at times. But Davis Mills is playing, so it's hard not to take the Seahawks for me. A little fun fact I learned on the Favorites podcast, which I listened to as well. Teams that play the 49ers this year are 1-11 the following week.
Huh.
Which is a really weird stat. I don't know if it makes any sense. They played the Seahawks last week. Okay. So statistics would tell you that the Seahawks have a good chance of losing this game if you're solely basing off of that one stat.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a weird stat. It probably has nothing to do with anything. Take that for what you will, but 1-11 after playing the 49ers. Who knew?
1-11 against the spread or just 1-11 in general?
Just straight up.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Okay. Well, to back that up then, I guess that kind of makes Nate's pick look good because he's going Texans +7.5.
There we go.
So we're going to hope that that trend continues and the Texans not only cover, but maybe they get a win. We'll see. We'll go ahead and jump to the 4 o'clock slot. We have the 1-10-1 Detroit Lions. They're in the win column, baby. They're here. They're +8 points. They're traveling to Denver to take on the 6-6 Broncos. Over-under for this game is 42 points. And Nate, you might not know this, but he's a big under guy.
Big under guy.
Lions-Broncos under 42.
Love it. I already mentioned this earlier. I'm going to take this as the second leg of my teaser. Washington football team +10. Broncos -1.5. I need Detroit to prove it to me. If they can do it two times in a row, especially on the road, Mile High Stadium, so be it. But I'll go and take this Broncos team. They're fine, but they should be able to be a team like the Lions. So
yeah,
I'll take them -1.5 on teaser.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a pretty good line. It's a very winnable game. They should have won last week versus Kansas City. Good opportunity to get in the win column against Detroit, and they're still making a push for the division, so they're not out of it because they are going up against the Chargers for that spot. Speaking of the Chargers, we have the 4-8 New York Giants. They are +10.5 points, and they are traveling to Los Angeles to take on a very depleted 7-5 Chargers. Over-under for this game is 44.5 points. COVID's hitting pretty bad in the Chargers locker room. Nate's taking a pass. What say you?
I'm also going to pass this game. For me, I know that the Chargers are depleted because we know it. They don't have Mike Williams. They don't have Keenan Allen. The Giants are on their third quarterback. They're without Daniel Jones, without Mike Glennon. Now they're going to be on Jake Fromm, so that'll be an interesting experiment on the road. I would love to take them to +10.5. That definitely might cover. It's a pro number, I'd say. I'm just going to go ahead and pass this game, but it should be interesting to see how it plays out once all the illnesses and injuries kind of settle and see who actually plays that game.
All right, so our next game we have the 6-6 San Francisco 49ers. They're -1. Some books you can get it down to a pick. And they are traveling to Cincinnati to take on the 7-5 Bengals. Over-under for this game, 48.5 points. And I mentioned this at the top of the show, so I'll go ahead and just reiterate this. Nate has a teaser for this game. He has the Washington football team +10, and he is teasing that with the 49ers +6.
I think that's this is possibly to me is a game that you can tease either way and everyone wins. So I like that teaser by him. The line actually ended up moving to, it actually went back and forth. So he could have the 49ers +7 or the Bengals +7 because it went back and forth.
Wow.
I don't know where it's at now, but this is a line that will probably do that. Eventually it might sway in one direction. For me, I'm going to go ahead and take the Bengals team total over 23.5.
Okay.
I just feel good about it. I know the 49ers are strong up front, but the Bengals are definitely going to be able to take advantage of that 49ers depleted secondary. Last week, they lost Emmanuel Mosley, their number one quarterback. They're going to be with like a washed-up Josh Norman, a rookie. The secondary is really something I think Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, etc. will be able to take advantage of. So I don't know if the Bengals will end up winning. I definitely see them scoring at least 24 points. So I'll take the Bengals team total over 23.5.
All right, our next game, we have the 7-5 Buffalo Bills. They're plus 3.5. They're coming off of that interesting game versus the Patriots. They're traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the 9-3 Buccaneers. Over-under for this game is 52.5 points. So they're expecting a lot of points. Nate is taking a pass on this game. Do you have any plays for this one?
I'll take a back-to-back team total. Give me the Bucs team total over 27.5.
Okay.
The Bills, a couple games ago, lost Tre'Davious White. Last week, it didn't matter because we all know Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times, so that didn't have an effect on the game. I think Tom Brady, with that receiving core, plus Gronkowski, they're going to be able to take advantage of that. I don't know. I might get fucked, and it'll be like a 27-24 finish. Either way, the Bills might cover 3.5. But I don't trust the Bills. I do think it will be back and forth. I think it might play out a lot like the Colts game. Okay. So I do believe Josh Allen, his receivers will bounce back, be able to take advantage because you can pass on the Bucs. But I don't know. The Bills have played only against one top 10 passing offense, which was the Chiefs. So we'll see how that affects this game. I'm going to go ahead and take team total for the Bucs over 27.5.
I like that. That's fair for sure. You know, when we did our 3-4s power rankings, we were talking about, I had mentioned, we're getting to a point where the Patriots and the Buccaneers are becoming a very realistic possibility in the Super Bowl. I saw it, for whatever it's worth, ESPN came out and said that right now it's the most, it's only 10%, but it's like the most possible Super Bowl matchup at the moment. And I think that's the matchup that I want. I'm sure it's a matchup that most want. Has there ever been like a season or a year where there was just a matchup that you were really just wanting or just hoping we would get?
I don't know, but I think this year's as good as any because there's so much parity.
Yeah.
So for me this year, I would love to see that matchup, Bucks versus the Patriots. I think that'd be awesome. I'd love to see the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, the Chargers. There's a couple of teams. I don't know if they'll make it, but what would be your optimal Super Bowl if you had to choose?
This has got to be it. Buccaneers, Patriots, Tom versus Bill. I mean, that writes itself. I would like to see Rodgers with the Packers get in there because of all the offseason stuff that is he going to come back? Is he not? And then he did.
I agree.
See, the problem is there's no one in the AFC that really excites me. I mean, the Bills with Josh Allen are one of my favorite teams, but it just they're not there for some reason. The Patriots, you have Bill, and I want that just for the Tom matchup.
Right.
We talked about the Titans. Without if Henry's not there, like I don't really care to see the Titans.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of teams in NFC that would be interesting or exciting to watch. Chargers would be cool.
Well, yeah, I'd say there's a couple AFC teams I would like, Chargers and the Colts.
I'm cool on the Chiefs.
So I would love to see the Colts go. I don't know if they quite have the talent this year. I love Jonathan Taylor, Pittman.
Yeah.
Wentz, he's kind of found himself rejuvenated. I dig it. Their defense is tough. So I like the Colts or the Chargers. I don't think they'll make it, but the AFC is going to be interesting. So will the NFC. Like I said, I like the Cardinals. The Rams could sneak in there, but I would love to see the Packers. So for me, I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. Yeah. He only has so many times left. So if he made it to the Super Bowl, I think that'd be awesome. But we'll see. We're like 3/4 away. So it's interesting. It's a good time right now because things are starting to kind of shape out.
All right. We have the Sunday night football game. We have the 4-8 Chicago Bears. They're plus 12.5 points. And they are traveling to Green Bay to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Over-under for this game, 44 points. Nate will be taking a pass. Do you have any plays for this one?
No, I think it's the Packers should win this. So I'm in a Survivor League. I'm going to go ahead and take the Packers this week. They definitely should win. I imagine they could cover as well. Steve Fezzik took the Packers minus 12.5, which he took the Rams minus 13.5 last, or I think it was minus 13 last week. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't take a lot of big spreads. So when a guy like that takes it, you kind of respect it. So I'm definitely going to take them survivor mode. We'll see, because it is a divisional matchup. But the Packers, they're off a bye. Aaron Rodgers had time to rest that toe. Aaron Jones has had time to recuperate. They're just a fine oiled machine right now. Yeah. So I can't imagine this Bears team beats them. They're banged up all over the place. So I'll go ahead and take the Packers just in my survivor pick, not against the spread.
Okay. All right. So a pass on the game itself. But if you are in a survivor league and you're still alive, consider the Packers as the optimal option. With Monday Night Football, you know, when we were younger, it always used to be like the marquee game of the week. And it kind of switched around. That was Sunday Night Football was kind of the really big game. And the Monday Night Football games this year haven't really been great. But we're getting a really good Monday Night Football game this week, and I'm excited about it. It's probably the game of the week, for me anyways. We have the 8-4 Los Angeles Rams. The line's been really shifty on this one. +3. Looks like it moved to +1.5. So it's moving around. They're traveling to Arizona to take on the 10-2 Cardinals. Over-under for this game, 51.5 points. And before you go ahead and close us out on the Week 14 lines, let me go ahead and hand out the NLOD. We have a 2-unit Rams +3.
Wow.
Yep.
The NLOD.
Yep.
So we're going to have an NLOD and a Luck It In.
Oh, nice.
Only one of the show. Rams +3. Like I said, that number is moving back and forth. You can still get it at +3 right now, so it'll probably go back if anything get it live, but I think this will be a defensive matchup, honestly. It's a divisional matchup. The Cardinals have an awesome defense right now. I still kind of feel like Kyler Murray wasn't necessarily back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
He did come back. He's probably going to get into his groove. They could win this game. I think it will be a close one. If it's a toss-up game, a coin flip, you're going to give me the Rams +3. I got to take it. To me, it's the right side, so I'll take them +3, and we will luck that in.
Nice. I was starting to wonder if we were even going to have a luck it in there, so I'm glad you got that in there at the buzzer.
I didn't even realize it until I was like, wait, we haven't had one.
Yeah. It's a big game. The Rams are 8-4, and they're still not a lock for the playoffs because Cardinals are 10-2 in the division. And there's a lot of really good NFC teams out there. So it's a really important game for the Rams. They need this win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to watch it. That will be the game of the week for me.
Yeah. All right, so before we go ahead and jump to DraftKings, let me just go ahead and run down our pick recap for the week. Our guy Nate is taking 8 plays, 2 teasers, 6 single bets with a total of 9 units in play. For his teasers, he's got the Steelers-Vikings under 49.5. Tease with the Saints-Jets under 49. His second teaser, he has the 49ers +6 to tease with the Washington football team +10. His single plays, he has the Browns -2.5, Chiefs -9.5, Falcons-Panthers under 42.5, Texans +7.5, Lions-Broncos under 42. And for Monday Night Football, his NLOD 2-unit play, Rams +3. Our guy Tone is taking 6 plays, 1 teaser, 5 single bets for 6 units in play. We have the Raiders +9.5, Washington football team +10, tease with the Broncos -1, Falcons +3. We have a couple team total plays this week. He's taking the Bengals team total over 23.5. He's taking the Bucks team total over 27.5. He's also taking the Rams +3. And I believe you had a heavy lean this week for a teaser. What was the heavy lean?
That was the Steelers +9.5 with the Seahawks -1.5.
All right. So we have that. We do have one luck it in this week. It's the Rams +3. The boys are pretty confident on the Rams +3 for Monday Night Football. And lastly, we have a head-to-head. Nate's looking to even up the score. He's taking the Chiefs -9.5, and Tone is rocking with Raiders +9.5. So that's our Week 14 recap for the week. We'll see how these play out. We literally can't do any worse than last week, but we're looking to get back in the positive and give you guys the great picks that you're used to getting. So
Let's do it.
With that being said, let's go ahead and jump over to our DraftKings for the week. I have Nate's guys. I don't know if, did you want to start us off with your quarterback and I will tail?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, I'll get it started. So this is going to be maybe, I don't know how high of an ownership he'll have because he is pricey, but I do think he'll be able to pass all over this Bucs defense. Give me Josh Allen, 7.8K. I think they can't run the ball. They should be able to pass against this Bucs defense, like I mentioned, so all of his receivers should be able to get involved. I just feel like he's a good value this week. I know he's the most expensive quarterback, but or actually, I don't even know if he's the most expensive, but he's up there. He's one of the most expensive quarterbacks, but hopefully he'll hold its weight.
Okay. He's actually not the most expensive quarterback because I'm going to do you one better. Nate's going with Patrick Mahomes at 8K for the week.
There it is.
So that might be the most expensive quarterback this week. Do you want to snake or do you want to just go ahead?
I'll just go ahead. All right. Can go back and forth. I'll go ahead with my running back. I'm going to take Antonio Gibson, 6K. He's playing that Dallas defense. They are solid at times, but I feel like he can definitely take advantage of them. Since his injury, he's been coming back really solid. I like him at that price point. Antonio Gibson, 6K.
All right. And I mentioned at the start, our guy Nate is feeling very confident in the Cleveland Browns, and I think that's going to reflect his running back. He's going with Nick Chubb, 7.6K. He's looking for a big game out of Chubb. Going against Baltimore in a must-win game.
Okay. I definitely like that pick. Hopefully he comes back and kills it, so we'll see how that goes. For my running back, I'm going to go with my second running back, Javonte Williams, 5.9K. He's a rookie, but all year we're kind of waiting for him to take over the main role for Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon got hurt. Last week, Javonte did pretty solid. I still feel like he's undervalued at 5.9. I don't know how much Melvin Gordon will play this week. If he gets that lead role, he is capable to get plenty of looks, plenty of touches, and eventually solid points. So I'll take Javonte Williams, 5.9K.
All right. And for all reasons you just stated, let's go ahead and lock that in because our guy Nate's taking Javonte Williams at 5.9K as number two running back on his DraftKings.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a no-brainer pick. It may not work out, but if you can get a guy like that at that price point, you got to take advantage of it. So, with my first wide receiver, I'll go ahead and take CeeDee Lamb, 7.2K. I do think that Dak and them will hopefully at least make some kind of presence through the air this week. We know Zeke's banged up. Tony Pollard's awesome as a secondary running back. He probably should be the first guy, but I think they'll try to air it out a little bit. I'll take CeeDee Lamb, 7.2K.
Okay. So to start with Nate's running backs or wide receivers, he went cheap to start with. So he's going to go ahead and take Rashad Bateman from the Baltimore Ravens at 4.7K.
Okay. That's interesting. For my second receiver, I just had to pick one, and I feel like for the bang for the buck, I might have been off. I should probably have taken Gronk, but I took Mike Evans, 6.6K. Again, I mentioned this earlier. I think that Tom Brady's going to be able to take advantage of that banged-up Bills secondary. The loss of Tre'Davious White will definitely come out this week, in my opinion. It didn't last week, again, because Mac Jones, he just only threw it three times, so had no significance. This week it should, in my opinion, so I'll go ahead and take Mike Evans, 6.6K. I wish I would have probably taken Gronk, and obviously Chris Godwin's a good choice as well.
All right, so you took CeeDee Lamb as your first receiver. Nate's going to go with Michael Gallup as his number two receiver. So two Dallas Cowboys on the Luck Changers DraftKings. Gallup's 5.5K. He's been doing pretty solid this year, so it's a good value pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think Gallup's really solid. He might even be preferred over Cooper at this point. Cooper's been banged up. He's had illnesses, and he didn't really bounce back. He hasn't yet, at least from the COVID, and I think Gallup's a really nice option, especially Cedric Wilson's out as well, so you don't have to worry about him trying to sneak in there, get some of those receptions from a guy like Gallup, so I like Gallup a lot. For my third receiver, I'm going to go ahead and take Brandon Ayuk. I might end up changing this if Deebo Samuel ends up playing. At this point, he's questionable, But if he doesn't play, even if he does play, I think because they're without most of their running backs right now. Eli Mitchell's in concussion protocol. Trey Sermon was just placed on the IR. It's kind of a mess in general. So I think they'll have to pass the ball and try to keep up with this Bengals offense. I'll go ahead and take Brandon Ayuk. He's gotten a lot more involved. At one point, you wanted to drop him off your team. Now I feel like you're salty if you did, which is me. Because I actually had him on the team. I dropped him. I'm kind of sick at it because he's getting more involved in the offense. And he's a pretty solid player. So I'll go ahead and take Brandon Ayuk. He's only 5.8K.
Nate's wide receivers, he went value. And that's because of this reason right here. Tyreek Hill, 8.5K. You always have to get someone to match up with your quarterback, and that's what he did here. So Tyreek Hill, 8.5K.
Very nice. With my tight end, I'm going to go Dawson Knox. I'm going to pair him with Josh Allen. He's 5K. He was a really solid tight end all year. He ended up getting hurt, so he's out a few games. Since he's came back, he's pretty solid. We can't really count last week because the weather was just ridiculous there.
Yeah.
There'll be much better weather this week. I think, again, it should be a back-and-forth game. I'll go ahead, take Dawson Knox, 5K as my tight end.
Okay. So I can tell that Nate's funds were getting very increasingly lower as his DraftKings went. And I see for his flex, he's hoping for a big play out of Donovan Peoples-Jones. 3.9K. Again, he's very confident in the Browns this week, and I think when you spent your money on people like Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, you go out and you get a lower tier receiver, and you kind of just hope that they snag a touchdown.
Sure.
Just to cover their value.
I went even lower than him.
Okay.
I went with Jalen Guyton.
Oh.
So Mike Williams out, Keenan Allen's out. They're playing that Giants defense. I feel like the Chargers should be able to at least try to compete and score. So give me Jalen Guyton, 3.4K.
That's a good pick. And you got to think with all of the COVID issues that they have, I mean, his value is increased inside the team's locker room. So you can get 3.4K for a guy who's probably going to be first, second string potentially. I mean, he's going to be moved way up the depth chart. So that's a good play. And at the end of Nate's, or you know what? I missed his tight end. Let me go ahead and give you his tight end real quick. It's not anything to get too excited about. Again, it's value here. Gerald Everett from the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
3.5K. You know what? I don't know if Seattle's beyond must win. I think they're probably out. But either way, I'm sure Russell wants to win every week. And same deal. You go out there and you invest in a lower tiered tight end and you just kind of hope to get a touchdown out of him. So,
yeah.
Gerald Everett, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and to round out his defense, Detroit Lions, 2.4K.
Bottom of the barrel. Love it. I actually scraped a little further down of the barrel. I took Jacksonville Jaguars.
Nice.
2.3. They're playing the Titans. I'm not sold on the Titans offense without A.J. Brown, without King Henry. They got a lot of backups in. I don't know. That they might prove me wrong, but I think for 2.3K, give me the Jaguars defense because they definitely have stepped up to times, and I feel like they can at least be respectable for the price.
All right. Well, that's our lines are done. Our DK is done, and we have one less thing to do.
What did he say?
And that's what did he say. So I'll go ahead and read you the question back. We did get some interactions, and then I'll get your play. It's, what did he say? Chris Godwin had 15 catches this past week, the most in a single game by a receiver this season. Who holds the record for most catches in a single game? So let's go ahead and start with you. What you've had the episode to ponder about this one. What are you thinking on this one?
His teammate, Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. Okay. All right, so I did get an answer from Nate as well. And it looks like we got some interactions on social media. Our guy Gary said Brandon Marshall, 20 or 21 catches in a game. We also got an answer from Corey Hammer. He said Danny Amendola with the Rams. And lastly, Nate said Brandon Marshall.
Nice.
That is the correct answer. It's Brandon Marshall.
Hell yeah. I knew I was wrong as soon as Gary came through. But 20 or 21.
Yeah, yeah. Brandon Marshall had 21 catches in 2009 versus the Colts.
Nice.
Yep. And we had a little bonus question here. And I'll go ahead and give it to you. I didn't ask Nate this, but I'll give it to you. Who is the only other receiver to have 20 catches in one game?
Oh, man. Not Mike Evans. Davante Adams.
Incorrect. Terrell Owens.
Nice.
Yep. All right. So another one right for LCP. That actually gives you guys the lead in the contest. It's LCP 8, DSA 7. So the lead has been taken. That means the questions are going to start to get harder, most likely. So prepare yourself for that.
We appreciate you letting us kind of get back, stumble back in. Feels good.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be a good week of football. As mentioned, you know, we've learned, we've known this, but sports betting, not easy. We appreciate everyone that's been listening and tailing us or fading us, you know, interacting with us. Keep your eyes out tomorrow. I guess you're listening to this Thursday, so keep an eye out later in the day for our Thursday night football score prediction contest. Pretty much that's been it. If you don't already, go follow our social medias. Nate gives it out at the end of every episode. You probably know what they are by now, so go check those right out. And that's pretty much all I got. What about you, brother?
No, yeah, I disagree with you. It's challenging, so we don't care. You can fade me. Last week, if you would have faded me, that would have been awesome. If you would have faded both of us, it would have been fantastic. So,
yeah,
definitely cool to fade, and just, we appreciate the interaction. You never know what's going to happen with these games. No one knows shit at the end of the day. You can try to go back and forth and find your edges, but until the game's over, then you have an honest discussion with yourself. So, it's cool. We appreciate you guys following along with us. Either way, we're cool with it. Nate has been killing it this year. I know he's going to come back with some fire picks. I feel good about this week, so it's exciting. Appreciate all you guys, and I think we're out.
All right. I am AJ the moderator, and we are out.
Adios.
Peace, somebody.